Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is a public service announcement. New EU regulations have forbidden all swearing in podcasts in the year of 2008. As such, it will no longer be permissible for this podcast to call anybody a cunt. A fucking cunt, a shit-eating cunt, a fucking cunt bastard of a cunt, a horse-fisting cunt butler of a cunt, or a cunt-bashing Weinstein of a cunt's cunting cunt. Should you hear anybody on this podcast being referred to as any kind of cunt whatsoever, please email cunt@europeanunion.eu, and we'll kick this cunt right in the fucking cunt. The cunt. Hello and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast on arsblog.com in association, as always, with my good friends at oleole.com, the football community website. It is the first Arscast of 2008, and I hope this finds you in good fettle, not too large and portly and unfit after the Christmas extravaganza and New Year extravaganza. That's all there is to do, really, isn't there? Eat and drink, and then, you know, you've got a hangover, so the best thing for a hangover is to drink again. Until progressively the hangovers get worse and worse and worse. There does come a time where the hangovers, they sort of lessen off, but I didn't have that time. By New Year's Day, I was so full of booze and gin and beer and food, oh my God. Tonight there is no beer of the week, wine of the week, bourbon of the week, or anything of the week. There is only a cup of tea of the week, which is Lion's tea, I think. Yes, it doesn't really matter what kind of tea it is. It's just tea. Coming up on this week's Arscast, the man in the bar is here. He's got a player history. As well as that, I'll be chatting to the man from East Lower about, you know, the bits and pieces that have been going on over the last couple of weeks. We'll be recapping what's been happening since the last Arscast. Ebue is here, and I can't remember what else. Some other stuff, maybe. I'm not sure. Arsene Wenger Hawkins is not here this week. He's off skiing somewhere, I believe. I'm not quite sure where either. All I know is that the last I saw of him, he had two skis strapped to the bottom of his wheelchair, and he was being forklifted into the back of a van. I think there were skis, and I think, yeah, it looked like people that knew him, and he certainly wasn't just being picked up off the street and taken away to an island somewhere to do experiments on. Well, I hope not. So he's not here, but he'll be back at some point in the near future. So what's happened since the last Arscast, apart from eating lots and drinking lots at Christmas time? Well, there was lots of football, for a start. I think the first game after the last Arscast was the Spurs game, which was obviously good fun when you beat Spurs. Adebayor put us a goal up, but then they got back into it with Berbatov's, and then Manuel Almunia made a bit of a hero of himself, saving Robbie Keane's penalty, and hat tip to David Pleat even, who said on the commentary, Robbie Keane never misses a penalty. He never misses. And he missed. And he missed one the other day as well. So obviously David Pleat has completely jinxed Robbie Keane when it comes to penalties. It was 1-1 though, and it could have gone... either way. It could have, couldn't it? If Robbie Keane had scored that penalty and we got another goal and then we got one back and then, you know... Anyway, you know what I mean. It wasn't cut and dried until Nicholas Bentner came on, and boom! With his very first touch, he headed in Cesc Fabregas' corner, and after that, there was just no way back for Spurs. Then there was Portsmouth on St. Stephen's Day, which was, I suppose, a little bit of punishment for eating too much on Christmas Day and just generally being slovenly and piggish, you see. That's what I think it was. It was really not a very enjoyable game of football at all, even though I went to the pub to watch it. It just wasn't much fun, even with all the beer I drank. A 0-0 draw,
And the way some people reacted, you thought it was a loss, especially when United won and went back to the top of the league, etc., etc. Well, that was followed up by a really, really peculiar game against Everton, in which Everton played very, very well, I thought, in the first half. And it was a game full of incident, obviously, with us being 1-0 down at halftime. Then we get a goal back almost straight away, a great finish from Eduardo. Then we go 2-1 up, another great finish from Eduardo, a great goal, actually, the way he flicked it round the defender. Then Nicholas Bentner got sent off as Adebayor was about to come on, and I think Bentner really was lucky he didn't get a straight red. I know we've been through this on the blog, but, you know, what the hell, we'll talk about it, because it's something to talk about. And we'll be discussing Bentner a little bit later with the man from East Lower, so we won't go into it in too much depth. Then Adebayor came on, made the most of the mix-up between the Everton defence to make it 3-1. Rosicki scored his icing on the cake goal to make it 4-1. That's after Mikel Arteta had been sent off. There was some chat about Cesc and his reaction, and I take it to a certain extent. In that, you know, he probably could have got up and walked around and, you know, not rolled around as much as he did. But the fact is, he got hit in the face. Simple as that. And Arteta had been a bit wild with his elbows, I thought. It was interesting to see people, particularly James Lawton, our old friend in the Independent, who's been quite, I think, complimentary about us in recent weeks. But he went to town on Cesc, I thought. He went really over the top in terms of the criticism he gave him. Yes, I accept the fact that Cesc overreacted slightly, and I prefer that he didn't do it, but Lawton didn't say a thing about Arteta's dive down on our goal line. He didn't say a thing about Yakubu's dive when he was running through with Kolo. And you remember, Yakubu is a guy that last season dived to get Philippe Senderos sent off. I think when he was playing for Middlesbrough at that time. As well as that, Phil Neville took a ridiculous tumble when he was running past one of our defenders. And in fairness to Neville, he held his hand up and went, yeah, sorry about that. The ref was standing right there looking at it and didn't give him any kind of a punishment, even though it was very much a yellow card. But those three incidents, to me, are worse than exaggerating an incident that actually happened. Trying to make something happen when there's nothing there is surely worse than making the most of something that did happen, if you know what I mean. So, James Lawton, fuck off, you cunt.
This is the European Union. Consider this an official warning. Any further breaches of the code will see you being kicked in the cunt, you cunt.
Then on the, it's Tuesday. You lose track of the days, don't you? Over Christmas and New Year's. You never know what day it is. We were walking down to my father's house on New Year's Day, going, oh, God, it's Sunday. I can't believe it's Sunday again. It wasn't. It was a Tuesday, whatever. So on Tuesday, we played West Ham and beat them 2-0. Fairly easy going, really. Good to see Freddie back, get a nice reception and not do anything at all, which is nice. Sometimes you get a little worried when old players come back. You think they might hurt you a little bit. But Eduardo showed again that he's a clinical finisher with a goal inside the first minute and a half. And Adebayor scored a really ridiculously good goal, I thought. His pace and his power got him to the ball before it crossed the line. And maybe he was a little bit lucky with the finish. But to do all the hard work, I think he deserved the luck. So that was it, 2-0. As Manchester United had lost the previous day, no, they didn't, they lost at the weekend against West Ham, that meant we went back to the top of the league. So 50 points at this stage of the season is good stuff. So to talk a little more about some of the stuff that's been going on, we shall talk to the man from East Lore. Hello to you, sir. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Have you enjoyed this Christmas period?
Yeah, very much so. I've eaten too much and drunk too much, and it's not much more you can really ask from a Christmas and New Year period, is there?
And the football's been quite good as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, football. Yeah, it has. It's been brilliant, actually. I didn't think after we'd lost to Middlesbrough that we'd have such a good festive period, but it's turned out really, really well. I don't think we could have asked for much more, in all honesty. 14 points out of 21, fantastic.
The one aberration, let's say, against Middlesbrough, I suppose every team is entitled to an off day. When you consider we had 9 matches in December, to come through top of the league, 50 points, it's very impressive.
It is amazingly impressive. And like, you're right, every team has an off day. I mean, the fluke was in 2004 when we didn't. And that was sometimes quite lucky as well. But, you know, every team is going to lose a game of 4 or 5 games in a league season. You can't just... It's almost impossible not to, and just the length of the season. And so I'm not too concerned. Obviously, it was a crap performance, but these things happen, don't they? And we turned it on after that, or at least we ground some good results out anyway. And I think the West Ham game showed that we're beginning to find a bit more fluency. So I'm very pleased, yeah.
Possibly, maybe, just maybe. The new Invincibles tag was sort of hanging around their neck a little bit. Maybe a loss to Borough wasn't the worst thing in the world that could have happened.
Well, it probably wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it was coming as well. I think it had been coming since half time at Villa, and then when it came, maybe it sort of, you know, got it out of the system a bit. I hope so. I'll accept that. I'll accept a really, really bad defeat at Villa at Middlesbrough that I paid for on Setanta and immediately regretted. I'll accept that if we go on to win the league.
Okay, fair enough, but only if we go on to win the league.
No pressure, lads.
No,
yeah,
pressure,
exactly.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about some of our players, because one or two aren't necessarily happy. Jens, he'll probably go in January. And Lassana Diarra is somebody that I'd like to talk about just a little bit, in the sense that he only came from Chelsea at the end of August, and by the middle of December was making noises about how he wasn't getting into the team, how he wants to leave. He was promised this, that, and the other. It wasn't given to him. He's been rather too quick, in my opinion, to start mouthing off like that, especially when you consider the team is top of the league, winning most of its games. Were we not winning and he wasn't being given a chance, you might understand it a little more. What do you make of the situation and the way he's dealt with it?
I think he has been far, far too quick. But it's odd because I kind of half wonder as well, why did he leave Chelsea for just £2 million? And I know it was a last minute deal in August, but maybe they kind of saw something in him they didn't like as well. And he does seem a bit impatient. And I think he's played pretty well. He's done really well. I think he's one that I'd really like us to keep because I think he's got a lot of promise. But who knows? I mean, if he's causing ruckus in the dressing room, then, you know, we do have quite a lot of cover in that area and we should get rid of him. But I think it would be, well, my primary wish would be to keep him and try and sort of placate him. And the secondary, if we're going to sell him, then don't sell him to a rival. But, you know, he's a funny one. I don't know quite what he's going on about, because he would have to displace Fabregas and Flamini, who are in the form of their lives. And obviously, you know, he's only 22.
And there's still half the season to go. You would have thought, if you're going to make those sort of complaints, at least wait until the season is over. But when you talk about having lots of cover in that area, at the moment we do. That's quite true. We have Gilberto, who may or may not be with us next season, and Matthew Flamini, who, like you say, is in the form of his life, may or may not be with us next season. It's now gone beyond January the 1st, and he's now at a point in time where he can quite freely negotiate a deal with another club. Are you a little bit worried about the situation?
Yeah, definitely. He's been a revelation in central midfield this year, and I don't know quite how that contract's been allowed to run down the way it has. Maybe it's just taken the club by surprise at how well he's played. And I don't buy all that stuff when he says, oh, I'm too busy at the moment playing for Arsenal to think about contracts. I mean, you know, they have about 3 hours training a day. And they've got agents and advisors. So I don't quite buy that. He's just being clever, isn't he? He wants a good deal. And if he doesn't get it, you know, he's just being clever. I think I hope it's as simple as that and that he stays, because he's a pivotal part of the team at the moment. But he's just keeping his options open and hoping to secure the best deal possible, which he probably will.
Nicholas Bentner had a very good moment against Spurs. He really would have enjoyed that, as we all did. The winning goal after coming on, and sort of a bit hero and villain when you compare what happened in the Everton game, where he rather foolishly picked up two bookings. The second one could have been a straight red. Came in for a bit of criticism, but I suppose we have to be a little more patient with our young players, because they are prone to doing things like that from time to time, aren't they?
Yeah, he's only bringing the age thing back into it. He's only 19. He's relatively inexperienced. He's certainly inexperienced in the Arsenal squad, and you have to accept these things, and he should learn from it. But he's kind of, I think that's one of the things that makes him quite a good, you know, a good prospect, is that he's ballsy and he's a real fighter. And I think, you know, that he will add a lot to the team for that. But unfortunately, with those kind of players, sometimes it tips over the edge, and I suppose it's only really age that that mellows them. So yeah, he'll learn from that, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly. Dennis Bergkamp, I remember, learned very at an early age when he elbowed Steve Lomas. I remember that.
Yeah, and Vieira went after his ninth red card, didn't he? So, you know, he got the message in the end.
This is true. Eduardo, we're beginning now to see why we paid all that money for him. And when you consider that people were saying, well, he's struggling, he's not having a great time. He's got 10 goals this season, which is very impressive. He really looks a good finisher.
Yeah, not just 10 goals, 10 goals in 13 starts, which is pretty spectacular, actually. He is a deadly finisher. Like you say, he's still got a few aspects of his game that he needs to work on, and he drifts in and out of games, but then I suppose a lot of strikers do. But he's absolutely deadly. He's fantastic. If he's coming into form now, then, you know, that's what a great time to do it, because...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, with the kind of program we got coming up and trying to stay on top of the league, we need someone to knock the goals in. So, very pleased with him. And, you know, he's knuckled down and kept his head down, unlike Diarra, and seems to be profiting from that at the moment.
The boss said he was going to be our secret weapon in the new year. Not so secret anymore.
No, not really. No. Hardly secret at all. When you announce that you sign him for $8 million in August, cat's out of the bag, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, he wants to work on keeping things a bit more secret. I think some cup games coming up. Obviously, the focus this season, I think, is well and truly on the league. So you can sort of enjoy the cup games a little bit more. Burnley in the FA Cup is a game. Steeped in tradition, I think, two teams of good tradition in the FA Cup. And then, of course, we have a Carling Cup game as well against Spurs. So it's a chance maybe to sit back and enjoy it without so much pressure.
Yeah, I think certainly, well, the Cup game on Saturday, you'd have expected to rest players for, but by all accounts, it might be quite a strong side given that the Carling Cup is just a few days later. So, and if I'm right also, it's Touré and Eboué's last game on Saturday, so I imagine they will play. The Spurs one is more intriguing because obviously he wants to play the same team, but we don't want to lose. I don't know. I think that could be, you say you just sit back and enjoy it, but I don't think there'll be much to enjoy when there are 9,000 Spurs fans at the Emirates Stadium. I think that'll be quite tense.
Here's a good point. I suppose had it been anyone else, it might be a bit more bit easier to relax. But I mean, the kids, there's no reason why they can't acquit themselves as well this season as they did last season against Spurs, who will probably put out a fairly strong side.
Yeah, it's a really tough one to call. I mean, it was a tough one to call last season, and I think they keep letting in hilarious goals, but they are already looking better under Ramos than they did under Yol, and it's kind of a big chance for them as well. So yeah, it's a tricky one. I think it'll be a really tight game and a really tense game, which is it'll probably be a cracking one to watch, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll wait and see what happens. And we'll talk to you on another Arsecast very soon. Thank you, man from East Lower.
Not a problem. See you soon. Cheers.
And thanks very much to the man from East Lower. He'll be back on another Arsecast in the very near future, no doubt. Now, we were talking about players who are unhappy. And unhappiest of them all, I would say, at Arsenal at this moment in time, is Jens Lehmann. He's gone from being our number one choice goalkeeper to possibly being our FA Cup goalkeeper. Because in the Carling Cup, remember when Lehmann was number one, Almunia played in the Carling Cup and the FA Cup. Now, it looks like, if he's still around, Jens Lehmann could play in the FA Cup this weekend against Burnley. But he does look terribly unhappy. He's obviously not very happy. He thinks he's a better goalkeeper than Almunia. So being on the bench all the time isn't suiting him, particularly as he wants to play for Germany in Euro 2008. And to do that, he's going to have to play regular first-team football. I'm surprised Almunia hasn't been mysteriously run over by a chap in a Mercedes or a BMW coming out of training one day. But the situation regarding Jens, there's all kinds of rumours as I record this that he could be on his way to Borussia Dortmund. It's rumoured that the Dortmund folk were in London yesterday, Thursday, to discuss a deal, and apparently they've called a press conference for Friday, and the speculation is that they're going to announce Jens as a new signing there. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Arsene Wenger said just today that he expects Lehmann to take part in the FA Cup game, but obviously if some kind of deal has been done at this stage, that's not going to happen. So we'll wait and see. I think it'll be a bit sad. The way it's ended, I think, is very sad, because I've always liked Jens. I thought he was a mad bastard. He was our mad bastard, though. You know what I mean? However, I do think he's well and truly blotted his copybook since he's been out of the team. I don't think the way he behaved when he was out of the team since the second game of the season has been particularly great. I don't think he should have said some of the things that he said. It was quite disrespectful, I think, to Almunia and to Arsene Wenger. In fact, I'm kind of surprised Almunia hasn't been run over by a bloke in a BMW or a Mercedes coming out of training one day. There have been issues with him regarding the warm-ups. He doesn't warm up with the players. You saw him sit on the bench during the whole of half-time in one of the away games not so long ago. So he's really sort of thrown his toys out of the pram a little bit. And to me, it's a shame it's happened like that. So I think probably it is best that he goes somewhere else. And if Borussia Dortmund is that place, then auf Wiedersehen, Jens. What's good looking in German? Guten Lücken. Yeah. The man in the bar.
Hello, there you are again now. Time for another old player history. But first, let me wish you a very happy new year. And I hope you got everything you wanted for the Christmas. Me, I got shingles. It's true. My body broke out in these horrible fluid-filled blisters. Oh, Jesus, it was awful. And what was worse was at night time, right? When I wasn't even aware that I was doing it. I was poking holes in the blisters. And I'd wake up in a whole puddle of my own pus. Oh, Jesus, I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. Apart from Ashley Cole. I'd like to drown Ashley Cole in a bucket of my own pus. But the chances of that happening are a bit slim, so they are. Anyway, it's time to edumacate you again about the old past history of a former Arsenal player. Now this fella, he's still playing the game in the old Premier League, so he is, and he comes from Sweden. No, it's not Freddie Ljungberg at all. It's a fella called Sebastian Larsson, who's the son of Johan Sebastian Bach and Henrik Larsson, I think. Anyway, it doesn't really matter who his parents are. The fact is, he's a former Arsenal player. And he came over from Sweden on an ice boat a number of years ago and joined up with the old reserves. And he started playing a few old cup games, a bit of the Carling Cup. But his biggest Arsenal moment came on the day that Sol Campbell played against West Ham. Do you remember when it got to half-time and Sol Campbell, he'd been at fault for both the West Ham goals, and instead of turning around and saying, "I am a mighty strong professional, I am the big machine, I'll do better in the second half," he went, "Oh, no, I can't cope, I'm going to run off, oh no, leave me alone, oh, I want to be alone." Which meant, you see, that Philip Senderos, who was playing at left-back, had to move into the centre of the defence, and this young midfielder fella had to play at left-back. And he did a sterling job that night, even though we lost. And he was kind of at fault for West Ham's third goal. But never mind, he did his best, and that's all anybody can ever ask. Then he went and did an old transfer to Birmingham City to play for the football manager that looks like Mrs. Doubtfire, Steve Bruce. He does well there, he gets in and out of side, but this season he did the mightiest, greatest thing that any ex-Arsenal player can do. He scored the winning goal against Spurs at White Hart Lane in injury time, and it was a rocket into the top corner. That's why, until the time that he scores against us, he's one of my favourite ex-Arsenal players. In his spare time, he likes to practice the art of tapestry. And at the moment is working on a 64-foot-high mural of Teddy Sheringham being raped by a dragon. It's true.
The man in the bar will be back with another player history on another Arsecast. Before we go any further, just to remind you a little bit about OleOle.com. It's a football community website where you can join. It's sort of like MySpace, sort of like Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you can get a little OleOle.com application for Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. But if I was on Facebook, I'd get the OleOle.com application. You can also start your own blog there. As well as that, there's loads of videos, football videos. You can upload or watch videos all day long. So if you don't feel like working, check out OleOle.com for all your football community needs. Coming up then, between now and the next Arscast and our next league game, our two cup games. This weekend we've got Burnley in the FA Cup. Burnley have won the FA Cup, I think it was in 1914. I don't remember that. Some of you do, I'm sure. Some of you old guys. And it looks like we're going to be playing a reasonably strong team up there. Kolo Touré and Emmanuel Eboué are both available. After this game, they'll be off to the African Cup of Nations. Arsene Wenger says Sanya will play, but he's going to rest somebody. He's going to rest Gallas. He's going to rest Clichy. So I guess that means we'll see Senderos and Traore. There's the talk about Jens Lehmann going in goal, but I suppose that all depends on whether or not he's going to go off to Germany. If not, it gives us another chance to see Lukasz Fabianski, the young Pole, who's been doing all right, I think, in the Carling Cup. I think he looks quite promising. A bit sort of, yeah, a bit flappy, but, you know, I quite like him. He hasn't done anything too bad, and he looks solid enough. He gets his hand on the end of things, and, you know, good. I'd be quite happy to see him again if Jens is on his way. So that's the FA Cup, and I always like the FA Cup. As I've said before, it's one of my favourite tournaments. Probably my earliest Arsenal memory, or one of the strongest earliest Arsenal memories, is the 1979 FA Cup final. So it has that little special place in my heart. There you go, I'll be hoping for a good win. That's on Saturday. Then on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it's the Tuesday though, we've got Spurs in the Carling Cup, the first leg of the Carling Cup semi-finals. And of course, Spurs are complete and utter cunts.
This is the European Union. Due to the fact that you have called Tottenham Hotspurs cunts, we have no leg to stand on, because they are in fact cunts. They are the biggest cunts of them all. Carry on.
The reason the boss is going to play a fairly strong team against Burnley is the fact that he's going to play all the kids in the Carling Cup semi-final. I suppose we'll see. Maybe Eduardo Bentner should play. Diarra should get a game, provided we haven't sold him somewhere else, or he hasn't gone off throwing his toys out of the pram or something like that. So all the young guys will come in, and I think it'll be a challenge. And while it's never Well, it's never easy to watch Arsenal versus Spurs, because you always want to beat Spurs, it does come with a little less pressure than the league games, and you can sit back a little more, I think, and enjoy the football. Certainly that's what happened in the last round against Blackburn. So that's what's coming up between now and the next Arsecast. They're going to play a strong side, though, I reckon. They're going to put out their first team pretty much like they did last year. So it's going to be a big challenge. And this time around, we don't have the advantage of the second leg in our place. So maybe a good result at home is more vital than it might have been. I think if we have to go to White Hart Lane looking for a win, for example, it might be just a step too far for the young lads. But who knows? Who knows? They did well enough last year, and there's no reason why they can't do it again. That's it. I'm feeling positive about the whole thing. So, that's what's happening. Apart from that, there's nothing else to talk about. So I'm going to leave this Arscast, this first Arscast of 2008, as it is. Talk to you all next week on the blog, and talk to you on next week's Arscast. Come on, you Gunners. Bye.
Day 562. I am the Omega Legend Man. I'm the last man on Earth. Everybody else is wiped out in a plague of some kind. But I was immune. I don't know how. I just was. Now I'm left all on my own. The streets are empty. There's nobody to talk to. And all these weird vampires are coming out at night. It's not very nice. And my God, I'm so terribly lonely. I don't have anybody to talk to. And I'd like to speak to anybody. Just... Oh my God, what was that? I can see them coming now. Seems like it's a person. A friend, at last. I've got somebody I can talk to. Howdy, stranger.
Oh, hello. Good to see you.
I can't believe after all this time on my own, I've found somebody I can talk to. What's your name, friend?
They call me David Dean.
Oh, excuse me one moment.
Oh, well, just me and my football. Here we go. Let's relive the cup final again. Yes, it's Dean. Oh, he goes past Hillwood, leaves him underground, points and laughing. Ah, ha, ha, ha. And then he's coming to Fryer. Oh, that's it. Take that, Fry. Oh, nuts, nuts. Ah, straight through your legs. And there's Edelman in the goal. Oh, Dean shoots. Oh, look, he shot so hard. Edelman's head has come off and the ball is on the line. And Dean runs in. He kneels down. He heads it over. And it's a cup final. David Dean wins a cup final. Yay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.